Tropical storm Olivia has cast a wide net of uncertainty after what we saw with Hurricane Lane. The Hawaii State Department of Education canceled classes at Hana High and Elementary School today, as well as all after-school activities and programs on Maui campuses. Among those intently watching the storm are scientists preparing for a research expedition out to the Northwest Hawaiian Islands. University of Hawaii biologist Chris Kelly is planning to leave this week to begin charting a seamount in Papahanao, Makuakea.
I'm going to be going out on a ship called the Nautilus, and this ship is owned and operated by the Ocean Exploration Trust, which is a foundation that was founded by Bob Ballard, who discovered the Titanic. And they just happened to be out here in Hawaii, lucky for us, and they want to do some operations in the monument. They're actually off the Big Island right now doing some dives off of the Lauihi volcano. But then when they get back to Oahu in another day or so, then we're going to get ready to head on up to the Papahanao Makuakea Marine National Monument and do a bunch of work up there.
Okay, so tell us, how is this storm, Olivia, affecting the operation?
Well, it's Mother Nature. But Olivia has already caused a possible delay in when we depart, because when there is a tropical storm here close to shore, then normally the Coast Guard will order the ships out of port because it's safer them to be out at sea. And the Nautilus crew is expecting that to happen. So we may get delayed by 12 hours on our departure on Friday, or even more than that, depending on what the storm does in the next couple days.
Okay. So what do people need to know if they kind of want to track to see what you're doing out there?
Well, those of you who are interested, then you can go to nautiluslive.org. And there's also a Twitter feed as well. And you can get, if you check there, there'll be a message that says the Nautilus is in port or out at sea waiting for the end of the storm, or the Nautilus is heading to the dive site, get ready, you know, something like this. And so they can follow what's going to happen.
And you've been out on this ship before?
No, this is the first time for this ship. I've been out on a lot of other ships, but first time for this one.
Okay. And so in the past, though, I know you've gotten some incredible video. You had sightings of some unusual creatures out there.
Yes, and we're hoping to sight some more unusual critters out on these seamounts. So where we're going, it's a set of seamounts that have never been mapped before and never been dove on before, and they're inside the expanded area of the monument. So in 2016, President Obama expanded the Papahanao Makuakea boundaries from 50 miles from the emergent land masses to the 200-mile U.S. Exclusive Economic Zone. And when he did that, then he enclosed a whole bunch of features that no one had ever explored before, because most of the work was concentrated in the monument over the years by the Hawaii Undersea Research Laboratory and other institutions. But now we've got a whole lot more seafloor to explore and to try to help the monument understand what the resources are in this new area.
So it's new virgin territory.
New virgin territory. And this particular group of seamounts we chose because not only are they potentially interesting from the biology that could be there, but they are very interesting geologically, because they're forming a line. Okay, and kind of like the Hawaiian archipelago, it sort of forms a line and keeps going up to the northwest. This is because the Hawaiian Islands were formed from a hot spot that's existing right now, right off of the Big Island, and is responsible for the volcanic activity that we had a few months ago. These hot spots typically form sort of a linear chain of islands and banks and volcanoes and seamounts and so forth as the Pacific Plate moves toward the northwest. So this particular group of seamounts that we're going to dive on, and there's 10 of them, they're in a line that parallels the Hawaiian archipelago, but there's no hotspot there. And they're not in an orientation that indicates that they might have been created many, many years ago back in the Cretaceous. Like, there are some really old seamount trails, much older than the Hawaiian trails, that are in our neighborhood. But this is parallel to the Hawaiian chain, and it doesn't make any sense except for one possibility, and it's what's called arch volcanism. And I knew what it was, but I never knew that it could create seamounts before, because the most of the work that's been done to explore this type of volcanism, which I'll mention in a moment, has happened off of the Big Island, and it's resulted in sort of this lava lake or field on the seafloor. And what I'm talking about is that when you get a very large volcano forming, like, for example, the Big Island right now, there's weight on this island, and there's weight on this volcano, and it's pressing down on the crust, the Earth's crust. And the Earth's crust is rigid, but it's a little bit flexible, too, so it actually bends. And when it bends, it creates a little bit of a trough around the islands, but then that also causes a bulge further out, something like about 100 miles or so out from the islands. And if the weight is heavy enough, then where it creates that sort of bulge, which is called an arch, then it could essentially crack the seafloor open and you get lava oozing out. But it's never been documented to produce seamounts. It's kind of the slow oozing type of lava. But that can be, as far as we know, it's the only explanation for how these seamounts could have formed. And so it's going to be unprecedented. We're going to collect a lot of rocks there and try to figure it out.
Do you think there's a greater chance of seeing more sea life there or not?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this particular line of seamounts is right between Gardner and some of the other in the Hawaiian archipelago, and also a set of seamounts that not very many people know about that's called the Musician Seamounts, that's further to the northeast. And so this small little line that we're going to go to is right between these two places, and we've found fantastic communities of corals and sponges, both in the Musicians and in the Hawaiian archipelago, in the original monument itself. And so we're expecting to see the same type of thing on these seamounts. And every time you go on one of these seamounts, they're all different. You never know what creatures are going to be there.
And I think when I last interviewed you, you were on the Okeanos?
Yes.
And so what do you remember from that trip?
Oh, I have fantastic memories from the Okeanos. Spectacular video. And we were diving very, very deep, usually below 2,000 meters or 6,000 feet, all the way down to 6,000 meters, close to 20,000 feet down. And we're seeing so many strange, unusual animals. And the Okeanos experience was fantastic because they broadcast the video live via telepresence. Well, so does the Nautilus, this ship that we're going to go out, so that people can go to the Nautilus website and they can see the video in real time as we see it. So when we come across something new and see it and get all excited, they're going to see it for the first time as well.
And that's the neat thing about technology.
Yeah, the technology is astonishing because they have a satellite dish on the ships, the Nautilus as well as the Okeanos Explorer, and it takes the feed from the remotely operated vehicle that's down on the seafloor. The video feed, it's high-definition video feed, is brought up through a cable. Then it's sent to a satellite dish, and the dish sends it up to a satellite, which then goes back to a special facility in Rhode Island, which then processes or somehow, I don't know how it works, but then that facility distributes the video over the internet to everybody.
And it really is amazing. I mean, you started out with Hurl, and you know that was just a fabulous experience to be able to get these images from deep down. But we had to wait for some time for you folks to download the video.
Yes. Yeah, that's a bit of an issue. So the difference from my Hurl days, the Hawaii Undersea Research Laboratory days, which, by the way, is the University of Hawaii here, is that we used submersibles, manned submersibles, that weren't cabled or tethered to the ship. So we would go down and we would record the video on, hard drives and things like this. And then we would have to, if we're out for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we'd have to get back in port before we could show the video to anybody. But with these other ships, the Okeanos and the Nautilus, they don't use manned vehicles. They use unmanned vehicles that are cabled to the ship. So the video can get sent up the cable in real time and distributed to everybody in the world.
Right. So there are pluses there, but there are also some minuses because you probably can't go to some places that the manned submersibles could go to, right?
That's right. So the manned submersibles, they don't have a tether, so they're more flexible in very tough, steep terrain, which we've encountered in plenty of places. Cabled vehicles always have to be careful where their cable is, because if they get snagged and they can't unsnag themselves, that's millions of dollars of expensive equipment that's going to get lost. So, yeah, they can't go everywhere. But they, after 3 years working with the Okeanos Explorer, they can go to a lot of places, and we got onto some pretty steep terrain.
Right, right. And the Hurl subs are mothballed for now.
Yeah, unfortunately. Part of the problem was the ship is ready for dry dock. It needs some more repairs, and it's very, very expensive to operate these ships. And the KOK, the Kaimikai o Kanaloa, which is the university ship, has been around for decades and decades and was extremely productive for many years. But every ship eventually
shows her age.
Yeah, kind of like me. So anyway, that's the situation. The subs are in perfect working order, but that ship is the only ship that we had that could deploy those subs.
Right. So that's kind of a loss, but noteworthy to mention in the history of marine science and exploration.
Yes, absolutely. But there's a slight bright spot in that the University of Hawaii acquired a new remotely operated vehicle themselves called the Lu'ukai. And it just completed a very successful cruise down to the manganese nodule field southeast of here. And so the University of Hawaii is still in the game, even though it's probably is not going to be operating the subs much more, if at all. We've got this other vehicle, which is going to be working.
Right, so the experienced team can still be put to work.
That's correct. And they are transitioning over. And, you know, of course, there's always a thrill when you're going down yourself
right.
into something. So it's a little different, but then there's also some pluses.
Right, the technology, and to be able to share that experience with just anybody online.
That's correct. And so, it's just different. But we're still getting to explore the deep sea and see all types of weird things.
Okay, so if folks want to jump in and share the adventure, they just have to kind of watch Olivia and keep up to date with the website so we know when you folks are actually going out there on the dives, because it may not be till next week.
That's correct. So we were, if Olivia does not interfere with our plans right now, then we plan to leave on Friday morning, and we've got 3 days of transit to get up to the dive site, and then we're going to map the first seamount on the fourth day. So our first dive would be on the fifth day, which is the 19th, I believe. But if Olivia causes some delay, which I expect it will, then that might get pushed back by a couple of days.
That was biologist Chris Kelly getting ready to embark on a mission to chart a seamount in Papahanao Makuakea later this week. You can find out more about this expedition on the Conversations Facebook page.